Well, as most of you know, the youth group went on a trip recently. On July 7th, we got on a plane. Sorry, Larissa and Kevin, I had to show this one too. Maybe. And that's on the way there, okay? That's not after the trip when we were all, well, we did have to get up early, so we'll give them that. We got on a plane and we flew down to Costa Rica, and we spent 3 days at Puerto Vida's base camp, where we had some training and some cultural classes and learned to do some of the things that we'd be doing. And then we headed off to the city of Moravia, which... Actually, that's Costa Rica. Where my finger is where the base camp would have been. And I believe a little south of that is Moravia. We were in the Central Mesa, which means that it was cold. We didn't go down there and get tanned. We went down there and it was actually more comfortable than here. So, So anyway. And then we were in Moravia for... 4.5 days doing our outreach, and then we came back and had it's called a vacation day. It was more of an adventure day, and we'll tell you more. I don't want to tell too much about it because the kids are going to get up here and tell about different parts of the trip. So, I guess we'll get to that. Kevin is up first. Let's all go up. Everyone come up here. Give Kevin some moral support. And 9 youth went. We have 5 here today. So, Kevin's first.
All right. We got to Costa Rica, and we went to this base that Puerto Vida had. And it was originally an old mushroom farm, so it was kind of interesting going around there. And while we were there, well, a normal day would basically be wake up, get a cold, freezing shower. That was really cold. And then we would have breakfast, and then we would go out and have quiet time for about 45 minutes. And then we would... And then we would have... What would we have? We would have a session. We would have worship, and then a session taught by Dalen Hoover. Yeah. And then we would have a cultural session or something of the sort, and then have lunch, and then we would split up into our youth groups, and part of the youth group would go do practice a drama that we would do later on in our ministry in Costa Rica, and then the other group would practice kids ministry, like songs and plays and stuff like that. And then we would have supper, and then another session with worship, and that was pretty much a normal day, but we had like different things thrown in. Like one of the nights after the evening session, the staff put on a drama of the crucifixion, and like they made us go out of the chapel, and it was like we were in part of the crowd following Jesus, and we went down into the woods by a bonfire, and there was a cross, and then everyone sat in front of the cross then and just prayed with each other and by themselves. And it was a really moving time, and I think all of us really enjoyed that. And then we made friends. There were several other youth groups there with us, and so we made friends for 3 days and then left them. But we got to see them later, most of them. But that's the base.
Pictures.
That's the front of the base. And that's in the chapel type area. Oh, and we had to wash our dishes after eating. And that's it.
I'm going to tell you about a little bit about Costa Rican culture. A couple of things that we were taught or that we learned from being there. If you ask for directions, everyone will tell you where to go. It doesn't matter if they don't know, they will tell you. And so you will end up farther away from where you're trying to go than you originally were. if they really don't know where it's at. Or you could get lucky and someone could actually know. But if you want someone to come here, you don't do this. You do this instead. This is more of a provocative gesture for them. Not a cultural thing, but more of a practical thing. You don't put your toilet paper in the toilet. You put it in the trash can because otherwise it won't flush. And let's see. If you want to point to someone or somewhere, you don't point with your finger. That's rude. You, like, motion with your lips somehow. I don't know how you do it. Something like that. People there are so generous. I don't think anyone, we ran into anyone that wasn't. They like to feed you. They like to make sure you're comfortable any way they can. They sacrifice whatever they can to make sure that you feel like you're at home. We had some friends that taught us some Costa Rican slang. I'm not gonna, if you wanna know, you can ask me later. I have a little dictionary they wrote for me. But the main phrase that they use there is pura vida, as you can tell by the name of the mission that we worked with. It's just a phrase, it's kind of like aloha and hakuna matata combined. They use it as like a greeting, a farewell phrase that means like okay, cool, great, whatever. It's also a lifestyle, like hakuna matata. Kind of just symbolizes, like, I don't know. Yeah, pure life is what it means, but it's the way of life down in Costa Rica. And if you wanted to sum up Costa Rica in two words, that would be it. The greeting, you can kiss on the cheek. The only situation in which that's not appropriate is if it's guy to guy, but girl to girl or guy to girl is appropriate. So, it's, yeah. In the bus. Martin was telling us about directions.
Yeah.
He was trying to get directions.
Basically, they ask like 10 people directions and they take the average of what the advice they got.
It's an outdoor market. I worked there. And that's the Catholic Church. Most Costa Ricans are Catholic. So there's a lot of those around, big ones. Yep.
Sarah.
So after we were done at the base, we all, each youth group split up and went to a different church. Our church was in Moravia, right? Okay. And it was a pretty small church, but all the people there were really, really nice. On Sunday when we got there, we had like a church service, and some people from our youth group went up to the front and like led the worship service. And so we all sang, and like some of it was in English and some of it was in Spanish, and it was kind of hard to sing in Spanish, but it was still fun. And after like the worship time, we went in the back, and we had youth group with like their youth group, and it was kind of translated for us. And they were all really nice and everything, and one of the ladies from the church cooked for us like every day that we were there, I think. And but before we left on Tuesday, we had like another service where like everyone came from the entire church, and they all, you know, spoke a little bit, and they sang and they prayed for us, and it was really nice.
That is the church which we painted. This is before we painted it, when it was all blue. It took a lot of paint. That's the drama that they learned at the base and they did for the church.
That's really good.
Yeah, this is us painting.
All right. As some of you know, I'm Joy. Our youth group was split up, and we stayed in host homes, which was basically families not knowing anything about us and taking us to their house to live with them. And mine and Emily Zachrich's host family they were grandparents, and our host dad wanted to show us like everything. So he had it was a really nice house, and he had a second story balcony. So we went out there on like the first morning, and he was showing us the town, the view. And he was trying to point something out to us because they didn't speak English. I speak a little bit of Spanish, but I wasn't understanding what he was trying to show us. And all of a sudden, his dentures fly out of his mouth down two stories into the next door neighbor's driveway. And he doesn't even pause. He just keeps on talking, trying to explain to us what's going on. And so that was... We had quite a bit of comic relief, and and then, but they were very generous. They made sure that we had anything we needed. The water in Costa Rica is perfectly safe, but yet they made sure we had bottled water, like, everywhere. And we went, he took us to the market, and he kept asking us, do you know what this is? Do you know this? And we were like, nope. And so he would buy, I don't know, a dozen, two dozen of everything. And his wife had sent him for three things. And we get to bananas. And he looks at Emily and he's like, do you like bananas? She's like, mm-hmm, yes, I like bananas. So he buys 24, 25 bananas. So they're just very generous. And it was... Actually, we didn't realize what was going on until, like Sarah said, the night where we had the special service and they gave testimonies. And our host mom, our host dad hadn't gone to church that whole week. We didn't really know. Maybe he was Catholic and he went, but we didn't know. And then our host mom came up and shared and told us that he wasn't Christian and that he had never asked anyone to say prayer for grace for the dinner. The first night we were there, he asked his daughter, who was there, to say grace for the dinner. And the second night, he asked his wife. On the third night, he said it was his turn. And he said prayer. And that was... And his wife said that we had really touched him in a way that he hadn't been touched before that led him to say prayer. So. But.
Kind of got out of course here, so I'll skip through.
Okay. This is Caleb's host family. The youngest would not let Caleb go. He loved Caleb. Every time they went to leave in the morning, he would hear him crying because he's like, no, Caleb is mine. Caleb is mine. That's Rachel. Rachel and Twyla got like their own apartment-ish. Like it was a separate house from the house. And then that's who Ryan and Chris stayed with.
While we were there, whoa, that's louder than I thought it'd be. Okay, while we were there, we did outreach, which we taught an English class to the adults and to the children. And I taught English to the children, but I didn't know a lot of Spanish, and so I think we taught each other, and it was really fun trying to understand each other. It got really confusing at times. And I scared a girl because I did this, and I didn't mean to. but she forgave me. And then after we would go through, like, different animals and fruits, we would play with them. We'd put on plays. We did the Velveteen Rabbit and Cain and Abel, right? Yeah. And then we would dance for them, and we're going to show you a song later that we did a lot. And everyone got into it, I have to say. I looked around while I was dancing, and we got into it. And then we'd make a craft, like little bunny ears, or we would draw and color, and we played Uno. It was really fun to just talk to the kids, even though we couldn't really talk that well. And one day we went out, and we passed out free drinks, and we had to go up to strangers and say quiere refresco, which means do you want a drink? And then we'd say it's gratis, which is it's free. And so it was really, we got out of our comfort zone definitely because we're going up to strangers, we're speaking a completely different language, and some of them looked at us like we were just strange. So it was interesting. And there was a guy, and we went up to him, and he was drunk, but he just kept talking and talking, and we couldn't really understand what he was saying, but he was really emotional. And later we found out that he was just really convicted and really wanted to seek God and everything. And Felipe said it was really beautiful what he said. So it was a good experience. It was definitely, it definitely made the trip worth it, I think. So pictures. That is me being Eve and Ryan being Adam.
I'm holding Cain or Abel, we weren't sure which.
Yeah. And then that's the English class.
Oops, sorry.
That's okay. I wasn't going to say much more. And that's playing with the kids. So that's it.
Okay. Several different things here. That I wasn't planning on saying is the last breakfast we had together. Kevin is sitting at my table, and it was really funny because he was just talking about, I learned something about Twyla, and then he said, I learned that the little lady is not boring. So that was funny. Another thing is, Pastor Martine's father was put in a nursing home several weeks before we were there, and so we had the opportunity to go to the nursing home and sing a couple songs for him and the other residents. They brought them all to the one area, and so I took a picture, and then Martine asked if I would, of him and his dad, and then he asked if I'd email it, and so I just got a response from him last night, and Martine just said, please give our greetings to all the people at London Christian Fellowship. And now on to what I'm really supposed to talk about. Two distinct points were stressed in the sessions held at the base, and the first one was being real, letting people see who you really are. Real. These are the shirts from our outreach. And then the other thing was getting out of your comfort zone. And there were a number of times where that happened for all of us. On Thursday afternoon, the speaker talked about sharing our testimonies. And we were, and then he gave his testimony, and we were given guidelines how to go about different process of what things to include in those kind of things. And everyone was asked to, at some time, to give their testimony. So at the Friday morning session, one person from each youth group, there were five youth groups, one person was chosen from each youth group, and Larissa was our chosen one. And she did a very good job. She presented her testimony in front of all the youth and leaders and PVM staff. Everyone, let's see, there were various times at our outreach church where we would have prayer and praise time led by our leaders. There were three leaders, Michelle, Ryan, and Sarah, that came along. They were on staff for the summer at PVM, and a very neat group. They didn't really, the staff don't usually work together. Maybe two of them had been on the same team together, but these three had not worked together, but they were excellent. Several of us would share our testimonies at the time when we would be doing our prayer and praise. Some were chosen to share Sunday morning in church, and others at a church service Tuesday evening that we had. And you may be thinking, did my son or daughter share? The answer is yes. Everyone shared. It was not an option. The PBM staff also shared their motto was, "We're not going to ask you to do something that we won't do." So they also did. Did we feel out of our comfort zone? Yes. But listening to each of the youth share has definitely made me feel more connected to your lives. And I just want to thank the LCF youth for being real. And as you get back into the routine of everyday life, I challenge you to remember to reflect back to what you shared in Costa Rica when you face temptations and disappointments. And remember how God has been with you in the past and will give you strength to get through life.
Well, those pictures don't necessarily go with the testimonies, but...
Okay, this is Michelle, Ryan, and Sarah, our leaders. Lots of fun. She never runs out of energy. And this is Jose, and at the last day, he presented this picture he had drawn and color painted something for he wanted to present it to the youth group.
It's here somewhere.
It's on the back table. And this is Martin and Dolores, the pastor of the church, and his wife. She actually comes from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and very sweet couple.
Okay, I'm just going to talk about the food real quick. And well, also I should say quickly that I felt awesome on the trip, in case any of you wondered. Like, I felt 10 times worse when after I got back. So I'm convinced that God, like, I don't know, I think I grew 10 times since I got back. And so anyway, I just think he carried me through that really well. So that was awesome. Some of the food, obviously we had lots of fruit. We had pineapple and watermelon probably at almost every meal. And Brenda didn't realize that if you eat too much pineapple, your mouth will die. So she was in pain for a while. We also had bananas and papaya. I don't think we ever had any fruit that we didn't know what it was, though, except some of those girls, their host families got them interesting stuff, but most of us didn't. We ate lots of typical food. They tried to serve us very typical Costa Rican food the whole time. We were expecting to eat just rice and beans all the time, but no. At the base, they tried to serve us different types of fare that different parts of Costa Rica would eat. So we had fish and other stuff. There was usually rice or beans with it somehow, but not just rice and beans. And then at the church, it was actually an upper middle class area that we were in. So they went all out. We had all kinds of fancy food. And one night we even had like fettuccine Alfredo. That was interesting. But anyway, we definitely got to try Costa Rican food, but it wasn't just rice and beans like we expected. Lots of meals. We had plantains in some way, shape, or form. Yuca, which is kind of like potato, but not. One thing I found out is that they can't grow sweet corn there because there's not enough light in the day, which I found interesting. And so they actually eat like field corn, which was interesting. That was probably one of the few things that I'm like, I could really live without that. Because it's just very, like you would think, field corn. They didn't like give you a cob of field corn, but they would be like cut up in something or something. But anyway, that was interesting. They eat this sour cream stuff, but it's not sour cream, natilla, that we had a lot of, at least at our host home for breakfast. And the cheese, they eat this fresh cheese all the time. We totally wish we could have brought like a bunch of it home with us. And like one morning, our host mom fed us fried cheese. Like, it was good. It was good, but yeah. And then one highlight is actually Joy's host dad, the one that she talked about that prayed. He apparently never comes inside the church. Like, he'll just stand outside and talk sometimes. He never came in. And we found out that he came into the church multiple times while we were there, which was a big deal. One time, the main reason was because we were talking with the pastor, and Ryan was talking about, you know, I know they make this stuff with cow stomach. I want to try it. It's called mondongo. And so the pastor apparently loves it, but his wife hates it and will never cook it for him. So he tries to find people in the church who will make it for him sometimes. So he's like, I'll find somebody. We'll have some mondongo. And so it was actually her host dad that made the mondongo and brought it into the church. It was good. I was very impressed.
I had two bowls.
It was very much, I had heard that it was like eating nasty rubber bands, but but I thought it was much more like meat, really. But apparently he made it really well, too, and he cut it into really small pieces. Apparently sometimes they'll give you like soup with the big slab of cow stomach in it, and that's, I could imagine that would be a lot harder to get down. But anyway, that was cool. Just that host dad made it and brought it into the church in the first place was really cool, and then trying it was just fun. And that's all I really have to say, except that we got fed very well, no doubt about that. And I pretty much liked everything I tried.
Except for
what, the papaya that one morning? Sometimes papaya is good and sometimes it's not. That was a really typical soup. Like there you can see the field corn, a big hunk of it there. We got to eat at a couple of restaurants on the vacation day, so that's at one of those. And that was some of the really nasty papaya there, in case you wondered.
All the juice.
Oh, yeah. At every meal, they give you not water. It's always some sort of juice that's really sweet. Like, you think, I don't know. They didn't feed us anything else sweet, really, except for that drink. It was always, like, really sweet. And there, that was at another restaurant that we were at. There's your field corn again, yuca.
A lot of meat, which surprises
me. Yeah, tons of different kinds of meat.
All right. Oh, not yet.
And the vacation or adventure day. I think we'll all look back on that day and tell stories about it, but parts of it were not as enjoyable as we'd expected. And it all went back to some complexities at the base that ended up having to send us with the entire group of youth groups with one guide and a bus. And so everything took longer than they expected. So usually they get back at 6, and we got back around 10 that night. And but like I said, we'll look back on it, I think. the first part of the day, we went whitewater rafting, which I might as well do that. Okay. And that's everyone who went whitewater rafting except Caleb. He got in a different boat. And it was fun. I don't think anyone complained about it. I don't look extremely happy right there because we went whitewater rafting this past spring here, and I fell out and swam a pretty vicious rapid. So I was like, I'm good for a year. So I get there and find out we're going whitewater rafting the first day. So, but it wasn't near as rough as that time. So had a lot of fun. We liked our guide, even though he only spoke. He knew the commands, powered forward, paddle back, duck. You know, he knew those, but that was about the extent of his Spanish. Then English. And then we went, well, should I talk about the middle? Well, in the afternoon we went on a rainforest canopy tour on zip lines. There are 14 zip lines that you got really high and... at the beginning, the guide said, this course is for about a 170-pound person. If you're over 200 pounds, eat less. He said, the course will hold you. You'll have to break an awful lot. You have a leather brake that you'd grab the zip line to break with. But mostly, eat less. And some of the other funny stories from the canopy. Emily was scared of heights, but she went on it. And she was it was obvious she was petrified for the first two or three. And she got to the top of one, and the guide said, are you scared? And she said, yeah, I'm pretty nervous. I'm scared of heights. He said, me too, but I like money. So he was pretty honest. And the roughest part for me was on the second one, the guy said, okay, you hold your brake on top of the pulley and don't take it off until the end when you need to brake. Don't take it off. And I zipped on down and it fell off. And I was like, oh! So I tried to slow myself down a little bit and I started spinning. So I grabbed it and I braked. And I was only about, there was a river that I hadn't gone across yet, a pretty big river. And what you had to do is turn around and hand over hand the rest of the way. And that just about killed me. I got within like 25 feet and the guy, the little guy zipped out, wrapped his legs around me and went about 10 feet, stopped, said, you got to do the rest yourself, man. Went back the rest of the way. So I saw him later and said, and he said, how you doing? I'm like, I'm tired. He's like, yeah. I said, I'm glad you didn't have to get me that time. He said, me too. So that was our vacation day. So there's the whitewater rafting. That's, I'm sure we'll get better zipline pictures later. That's kind of, I think that's the longest one. It disappears off into the trees there. I think it was like 4 football fields. It was really long. And that's also at the place where we did the zip line. All right, well, we do have a song we'd like to do. And we'd like your help, if you're willing. If you stand up and follow the motions with us.
My wife just says you have to, it's not an option. But that's up to you.
Chris?
And,
If you kind of want to know what it means, if you don't know Spanish, it's your amor. I'm speaking Spanglish here. Your love is so big, kind of. Your love is big, so big, bigger than anything we can imagine. You are real. I want to receive today your love and nothing more. By your grace, O Lord, I have salvation. That's kind of the gist of it. So.
Tu amor es grande, grande, más grande de lo que pueda imaginar. Tú eres real. Tu amor es grande, grande, más grande de lo que pueda imaginar. Tú eres real. Quiero recibir hoy. Thank you.
basically. I told Rob I'd only take 20 minutes. I think we've exceeded that already. So why did we go?
Lord, my God!
I was wondering if they'd be paying attention. We went down and we painted a church, and we had English class and children's ministry. Is that worth the amount of money that we had to raise to go? And that in itself worth the $1,200 a kid? I mean, we could have painted a church up here. We could have taught English. No, but we could have had a VBS. But Dylan, really, that was, he expressed that question, why are we here? And he said, the reason you're here is to glorify God. That's always the reason you're anywhere. And he said, you could do this at home, and you should do this at home. He says, I get upset when people say that I'm going to go do missions. He said, you can do missions anywhere. You can do it anywhere. And yes, we accomplished a lot down there. I really was touched by the story of Joy's host family. But the reason we went wasn't necessarily to reach the people of Costa Rica. I mean, that was part of it. But the reason we went was to enrich the lives of the youth, to get them out of their comfort zone, to get them into a culture where they are the minority, where they have to step out and speak what they know and give their testimony. That was hard for a lot of them to actually have to stand up and tell their story. And they all did it, and they did a wonderful job. And I want to thank you as a congregation for being behind us in this and helping us out with the fundraising. And I just really appreciate the support that we got. And I know that the youth will be impacted for a long time to come. Thanks.